Brothers and sisters, what is the meaning of life? That's probably the most frequently asked philosophical question. Almost everybody has asked this question at some point in their life. This question is so commonly asked, in fact, that Apple has programmed into Siri, the iPhone's digital assistant, with multiple answers to this question, ranging from the humorous, all evidence to date points to chocolate, to the more sentimental, try and be nice to people, avoid eating fat, read a good book every now and then, get some walking in, and try to live together in harmony with people of all creeds and nations. If we turn away from our iPhones and instead turn to sacred scripture, we receive a different answer to this question, an answer that's not humorous or sentimental, but that's profoundly transforming. The answer to the meaning of life can be found in the Jewish Shema, which is heard in the first reading. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words are among the most important in Scripture. The author of the book of Deuteronomy emphasizes these words by instructing the people as follows. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today. Keep repeating them to your children. Recite them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as on your arm as a sign, and let them be as a pendant on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Jesus further emphasizes the importance of the Shema by calling it the greatest commandment. The Shema tells us that there is nothing that takes priority over God. God is to be loved above all else. This is transforming, and it truly gives meaning to our lives. You see, while my iPhone makes several attempts to answer the meaning of life, each answer that it gives is ultimately worthless. You know, at first I was excited when Siri told me that the meaning of life was chocolate because I'm a known chocoholic. But when we press on this, we'll soon be led to despair because material goods, including chocolate, are subject to corrosion. They come into existence and they go out of existence. They don't have any lasting significance. So if the meaning of life were chocolate, well, then what happens when all the chocolate is consumed? Our lives become meaningless. And the same is true of any other material good, money or clothing or electronics, etc. They're all fleeting things. And if we depend upon them for meaning, then the meaning of our lives will fade away over time. Siri's second answer to the meaning of life was more sentimental and idealistic, essentially stating that we should be nice to people and try to live in harmony with people of all creeds and nations. And certainly this seems like a noble task. But if this, or if any other ideal, is truly the meaning of life, then again we must despair and admit that life is absurd and has no lasting significance. See, even if we ended hunger and created world peace, we know that our world would eventually come to an end. Scientists tell us that in approximately 500 million years, the sun will die out, at which point life as we know it will come to an end, and then all the good that we did will, in the grand scheme of things, be for naught. Thus, the thought of any ideal being the meaning of life ultimately leads us to despair, believing that life is meaningless. But now let's look at what happens when we place our meaning not in worldly things or worldly ideologies, but in the scriptural command of the Shema, to love God with all our heart, with all our being, and with all our strength. You see, far from leading us into despair, this leads us to true hope and to true joy. Because when we press on this, we'll realize that our lives do have meaning. They are significant. You see, even when the sun burns out in 500 million years, our lives will still have meaning because God is eternal. He will not go out of existence. If we ground our lives in the eternal God, if we acknowledge that our purpose in life is to love God with all our heart, with all our being, and with all our strength, then our lives will have eternal significance because they will be intimately linked with the eternal life of God. And this is cause for great joy, as it informs us that life is not absurd, but it has eternal significance that's grounded in our love for God. When we truly love God, we become free to truly love others, which is the second great commandment. And this second great commandment has to be rooted in the first commandment of loving God. Because if it isn't, what often happens is that we become manipulative and sinful. We may do nice things for other people, but our actions usually are motivated out of some selfish desire. So we do something nice for someone, but we do so in the hopes of receiving something in return. But when our actions are motivated by love of God, then they truly become good, because God is the only source of goodness. Ending world hunger or living in harmony with others, they're not good in and of themselves. They're good when they're motivated by our love for God. They become good because they are manifestations of our love for God. And this is the transforming power of the gospel, the transforming power of loving God with all our heart, all our being, and all our strength, is that it allows us to perform true acts of charity. This is impossible for an atheist to do, by the way, because the word charity means love. When we say that God is love, the type of love we're referring to isn't romantic love. It's not eros. It's self-giving love. It's caritas, which is the root for the English word charity. Charitable love is identified with God. Think about it this way. When atheists do acts, they do so knowing that their acts are ultimately meaningless. You know, they may sincerely want to make the world better, but not because of their eternal love. Because for them, everything, including love, is fleeting. The world will fade away, and their acts won't have any eternal significance in the grand scheme of the universe. When we believers perform noble acts, it isn't primarily to make the world a better place. Rather, our noble deeds are manifestations of our love for God. Hence, they become charity, self-giving love, modeled after God's charity, his self-giving love that brought all of creation into existence. Friends, wouldn't it be great if we Christians were more explicit in the reason for our charity? Imagine if the next time someone asked us why we volunteer at the soup kitchen or why we give to a particular cause, we responded not by saying some worldly objective such as, you know, I want to end world hunger, but by saying something more profound such as, I love God with my whole being and I want to make my love known for him and this is how I do that. What a powerful witness to the gospel of love that would be. It would make known the transforming power that comes from loving God. It would demonstrate that by loving God, we are capable of doing true acts of charity, and that our lives do have meaning, a meaning that's far more profound than any ideology or anything, including chocolate. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who love God with all their heart, all their being, and all their strength.